The show is about to begin.
Hey, welcome to the Truth, Lies, Shenanigans podcast. Social commentary, hot topics, amazing guests with a ton of fun and shenanigans along the way. We are thrilled today to have Kat Henson, host of the Sister Sesh podcast. She's joining us to tell us about her amazing podcast and her business, Crescent Media. Also, we've got a couple of hot topics on deck. We're tackling the angry black woman trope in tennis after Coco Gauff's contentious match last week. And we're diving into the Burning Man storm debacle, where thousands of festival goers were left stranded.
Yep.
All right. If this is your first time stopping in, we record our podcast live Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch TV, TruthLiesShenanigans.com. And we want your comments to make it into our official audio podcast that you can download on Fridays on Apple Podcasts, PodsNetwork.com, or anywhere you listen to your podcast. So get to YouTube or Facebook at TLS Live Show and start typing your comments and questions. Let me introduce you to my co-hosts. First up, we've got our gamer, nature lover, rock star, coming to you from Ontario, Canada, Robbie.
Hey, Robbie.
Thank you. Love those intros, man. Love those intros. But always happy hump day, everyone. I had an amazing paddle last weekend, and the bald eagle got to redeem itself in my eyes. So a little bit of a backstory.
What?
The last time I saw a bald eagle was about 3 years ago, and it was at a municipal dump on a rainy day.
Oh.
So it looked like a dirty, pathetic garbage bird, and it tainted my view of it.
Okay. Like a vulture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But on Sunday, we were out on a local lake with our kayaks, and the eagle was circling the lake for about an hour, and it was just so beautiful.
Wow.
To be bold. It was just so majestic. Yeah.
Was that your second time seeing a bald eagle or something?
Yeah, they're not common here.
I've seen a bunch.
Unfortunately, Johnny, they do come up here a lot.
I've never.
And they are definitely attracted to the municipal dumps and stuff. They are around.
Interesting.
The closest sighting I've seen is just up my street. I was running and maybe about 350 feet from my house is my mailbox. And as I was out for my run, this shadow was cast above me. And I looked up and
they're
like,
big birds.
Oh my God, there's a bald eagle in my neighborhood.
Huge.
What's going on?
They're big birds.
Yeah. I didn't see one with my own eyes until my late 30s.
Okay.
Yeah. So I just need to see them more and more around here.
Yeah. I mean,
I've seen them at a zoo.
Yeah. They were almost extinct for a minute there, but they are coming back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. They were.
What's up? So seeing a bald eagle, good luck or something?
I guess it's an auspicious sign.
Well, if
it was
you're
a good thing I saw a bald eagle, which you don't see every day. So that was the blessing.
We're going to say that's good luck.
It was the blessing.
All right. Next up, our young, vibrant model and business owner streaming from Atlanta, Georgia, Gianni Storm.
Yes. I've had a pretty chill week. Like, there's been nothing exciting this week that's happened. But what I'm excited about this week that I've incorporated is that I've actually started cooking some recipes that my mom used to cook.
Oh, like what?
Now.
Oh, nice.
So So my mom made this Spanish dish. It's like beef steak. I don't know. Maybe Kat can help me when she comes on. We're different types of Hispanic, but still. But it's like
types of Hispanic.
There's dimples.
Oh, you know how it is.
I can't wait for her to come.
Okay.
It's beef steak, rice and beans, and the like paste base is like sofrito. So it's like peppers, crushed peppers, cilantro, seasoning, all that good stuff.
Nice.
And plantains, platanos. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So fried, yeah. Fried plantains. Sweet?
Mm-hmm. Some fried plantains. No, I made the salty ones. Not
okay,
the salty.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, you know, very just cool. Incorporating some.
Nice, yeah. I get that type of food, like the plantains and the beef, because my mother-in-law is Haitian. So, man, she's cooking.
Wow.
She cooks all the time, ooh, all the Caribbean food. Mm.
Good.
It's soulful and it's good cooking. It's a way for you to connect with your mom. That's amazing. I'm so happy for you.
Before the pandemic, right? I was kind of a decent weight, right? I want to say. But my mother-in-law came over.
Average weight.
To stay with us during the pandemic. And goodness gracious.
Oh my God. Oh, wow.
She was cooking all the time. I mean, so.
She showed her appreciation by feeding you well, did she?
She fed me too well. Too well.
That was her thank you.
So Gianni, <Too well. laughs> I'd love to try some of your food, because if it's anything like that,
oh,
it's
I got
good.
You. I got you guys.
That confidence in her eyes. I got you.
Wait till I perfect it, but I got you guys.
All right. Sounds good to
nice.
Me.
Nice.
All right. And of course, I am your host, Neo Nix. So guys, so I started watching the documentary Catching a Monster. Jared Fogle from Subway, right?
No.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you know that he was like a pedophile and
Yep. That's why he lost his sponsorship deal.
I remember hearing about it when it happened, but I didn't know. Right? I really didn't know all the details. I mean,
I didn't know that.
But he was really bad. He was a real creep. He ended up going to jail
he was
for
a
like
a serial killer?
No, a pedophile.
No.
Oh, okay.
Little boys and little girls. He was having sex with little girls and little boys and doing
disgusting.
Child pornography and stuff like that. And but he only got 15 years in jail. I was like, what
he
the
should
hell?
Have been under the jail.
Yeah. He only got 15 years. And it reminded me, while I was watching, it reminded me of Mayor Patrick. And for you guys that don't know, Mayor Patrick was a previous guest on our show. He was arrested for child pornography. But did I tell you guys what eventually happened to him?
No, update us.
So he pled guilty to 140 counts of child pornography. 140 counts. He ended up getting 150 years.
No
way. Well deserved. You know what? Well deserved. Sorry.
He only served 30 because he's got 120 suspended for pleading guilty, but 30 years. I mean, but Jared Fogle was actually having sex with children and got 15. Not saying that it was, you know, that we really can compare, but Jared Fogle definitely should have gotten a lot of time.
Life.
But 140 counts, guys. 140.
That's insane.
I mean, I don't know. And there's no telling what else he might have been doing. That's just what they caught him on. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
So 140 counts means like they charged him 140 times, or it was 140 pieces of evidence. Like, where is
all
the...
of it? Yeah, that's exactly right.
Because so, each piece of evidence is a count of the crime.
Yep.
No way. What?
Yep.
Yeah. So,
and you know what? I mean, Fogle with 15 years, we'll see if he makes it out, because these types of offenders usually don't fare well in prison.
Yeah, they don't.
Yeah, that's something. Jack Robson just said he won't survive in jail. She also said, I saw that. I remember when Jared was arrested, but I had no idea it was that bad. I didn't. I mean,
I think he's going to be the recipient of some unfortunate foot-long jokes.
Shut up, bro. Yikes.
All right, with that, we just had to get our guest up in here. We had to.
All right.
Tonight we're joined by the incredible Kat Henson, host of the Sisters Sesh podcast. With a focus on cannabis culture and personal growth, Kat's show is all about sisterly love and real life narratives. She's also the founder of Crescent Media, empowering aspiring podcasters. Let's welcome Kat in.
Oh,
Welcome, Kat. How are you?
Hey, I'm excited to be here. You guys have like the most fanciest setup.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that. I mean, I'm sure you heard Gianni say you know you guys are a different kind of Hispanic. So.
Oh yes, there is a difference. There is a difference.
You're different kind of Hispanic.
Thank you, right, Kat? There are different, and some Hispanics are very prideful to be that specific. Like I know that Puerto Ricans are very proud. I know Mexicans are very proud, and I know Cubans are very like loud and proud. So okay,
Well, what kind of Hispanic are you? So,
for me, like my grandmother always told us, have you ever that you're Mexican American and that there's a difference. So if you've ever seen the movie Selena, her dad tells her, "We're too white for the Mexicans, and we're too Mexican for the white people." Like, that's really what
that's
it is.
How you feel?
I was like, "Yeah," because you don't really fit in to that part of it. So like, we have the traditions, we have the culture, but I didn't grow up with the language. Mm. I learned that later on in my 20s.
Oh, really? So you didn't speak Spanish until your 20s?
Yeah, not until I got into the workplace.
Wow. Did it come natural to you?
Yeah. Well, I knew what certain words and phrases were. My grandparents, they were really hard workers. I'll put this into perspective. They raised all four of their children. They raised, I want to say, 20 out of 26 of their grandchildren. Mm. And then they raised about 15 out of their 20 great-grandchildren, myself included.
Wow.
So it was 20 of us in a 5-bedroom home. It was multi-generational. Wow. And I loved every aspect of it. I have an aunt. Her and I are exactly 3 years apart. So she's 3 years older than me. Wow. So I grew up with my aunts and uncles and the cousins, and we all went to high school together.
Family.
A big family. Yeah.
Gianni, hold on. Wow. Gianni, what kind of Hispanic are you?
I love that Kat broke it down like that because I kind of feel that way too. Like I am a Puerto Rican, but you know, Puerto Rico is a part of America.
Well, but, it's Hispanic.
And my dad is, my biological dad is African. I believe he's Black. So okay. I'm like in between and I grew up speaking. Yeah. I'm Puerto Rican and grew up speaking English and Spanish. And so it's like, I don't fit in to either. So I'm just like, I guess what they call Afro-Latina now.
Afro-Latina.
With the inflection.
So, so, Kat, first question I have to ask you is, can you tell us something that our audience right now would not be able to pull up Google and say, who is this Kat Henson? What can they not find on you?
I lived in Los Angeles during my internship. I used to work in the newsroom in Burbank at NBC Newsroom. My one and only job was to hold a boom mic.
That's a long day.
Especially for the morning news. Oh my goodness. I'm just like,
yep. Or did you end up with some muscles? I mean, you got to have some muscles, right?
But I was in college and part of our requirement, because I have a bachelor's degree in media production. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it was you had to put in hours, you had to find an internship. And I was like, I will take anything I can get. And it was paid. And I was like, when can you find that in L.A.? Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's true.
It's true.
Maybe you can get sometimes.
And it's a fun experience.
But it was like getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning, getting it ready. Because, you know, it starts at 4:30, the morning news. Like 4:30. And it's on a, I don't think it's on a loop, but they have segments. So from like 4:30 until maybe noon, you're really working in a good shift. Holding that mic.
Wow.
That's a long
That's a
day.
Cool experience. Wow.
Well, real quick, tell us about the Sister Sesh podcast. You know, what inspired to create, you know, a show that explores cannabis culture and personal growth? Tell us about that.
Yeah. So Sister Sesh podcast is with me and my sister, Alicia. I came out of a really deep dark depression. I needed a project. I didn't want to do it alone. So I called her and I was like, I really want to do a podcast, but I don't know what to do. I don't know what it's about. She's like, well, then let's just get lit and brainstorm. And so
simple.
I like that.
So we really took our first episode. We recorded a FaceTime and we just really broke down our weekly conversations of us. And it's a cannabis lifestyle podcast. So we go through do you know your Weedekit? Is, you know, my Weedekit is different from hers.
Your Weedekit.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's Weedekit.
It's the etiquette of a puff puff pass.
Okay. So I've heard of this.
Robbie would know about that. Robbie does.
Each generation is different. What you call, back in the day, they used to call it like Mary Jane. Now they call it like a tote. There's different names for cannabis. The more like it's integrated into our culture,
it is,
and more accepted in everything. What she calls, like, I call her, I'm like, oh, did you call your connect? And she goes, you mean my plug? And I mean, it's that person that you buy weed from. And I was like, what's a plug? And she's like, it's the connect. It's the guy who connects you with weed. I go, yeah, I call it a connect. She goes, no, my generation calls it a plug.
Oh, good.
Like a plug and an outlet. And she goes, yeah, because you plug it in, it's your plug. And I was like, so we integrate those things.
Slang.
We just share our life together. So if you ever have seen that 70s show, our premise of our podcast is really that you know that they're getting high.
Nice.
You know that they are like sesh, but they're having those weird conversations and they're just open. And when we have our guests on, we tell them, just so you know, it's not required to partake, but just know we have beforehand.
So now, just to follow up on that, which famous stoners would you love to sesh with on the show?
We've said it and we're manifesting it right now. We want Snoop Dogg. Like, that would be
Snoop.
So Snoop, Willie Nelson, and then like Jelly Roll. Those are like our top three. So
what?
Really?
Yeah. Who's Jelly Roll?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Jelly Roll is an up and coming country artist. And he has really taken the country scene by storm. Yeah. And he was a drug addict. He was a juvenile adolescent. He was in and out of prison.
Set and has tattoos all over him?
Yes. And his wife actually is the host of the Dumb Blonde podcast. And she used to be a sex worker.
I know that.
So they have a beautiful love story. And
I've heard it.
I just really am inspired by them, and they've overcome a lot of similarities and challenges that I have. And I'm just like, they can make it, so can I.
Jose's online. She says Snoop Dogg and Seth Rogen.
Seth Rogen? Yes.
So what?
Yes. But Snoop pays a guy to roll his blunts. Like, that's his job. He's a professional blunt roller.
That is an awesome career.
Yeah, Snoop smokes a lot of weed.
A year to roll his weed. I was like, well, dang.
If you would have said dead or alive, I would have said like Bob Marley. Or even Cat Williams smokes weed. And he's like he's a comedian, Cat Williams. That's somebody
else. Yeah.
Yep.
He's funny. Just people that you would laugh with. Would
be an interesting stoner.
I gotta admit, I don't really like the smell of weed, so I wouldn't be smoking with nobody.
Yeah.
You can have edibles, you can have drinks.
He doesn't like the smell of it, but he will partake in an edible cookie and play his video game. And I was like, all right.
Yeah, but I'm not doing any sessions with nobody.
Neo's like, just making that clear.
Because my guy is called the dispensary or the pharmacist. You know, it's all legal.
Yeah, okay.
Dispensary. Yeah, because it's legal. Formal. It's been legal for how long has it been legal? Has it always been legal in Canada?
The clerk. No. So the legalization occurred, I want to say, about 3 years ago.
Okay.
But I've had my medicinal carry card for about a decade.
Oh.
Yeah, I have my medicinal. I lived in California and it's just fully state legal. And then when I moved here to Arkansas, I was like, oh, I need my rec. And so I was like, all right, I guess I'm going to do that.
I kind of had a question, Kat. Do you know any like trends or the cannabis industry is always developing. They have like all types of new things and like I said, new developments. Do you have any? Or can you tell us of any trends that you guys would talk about or you find like interesting that you would explore on your podcast possibly?
I think we explored this in a previous episode. Sesh boxes are really like up and coming. And every celebrity that you know that has partaked in any type of cannabis, they will put out their own sesh box. So they'll work with a dispensary or a weed farmer, a grower, and they will curate yeah. those certain strands just for them. And then they have like their logos and their brands and stuff. We do, yeah. So like, Dwayne Wayne just did his first like luxury sesh box, and we're like, my sister knows more about sports, and I was like, I don't know who this guy is, she's like, oh yeah. And so we debated, like, is it worth the price? You get a tray, some papers, you know, is it worth the $60? Yeah, just with the space.
You could do like Seth Rogen and just start your own company and just have your own stock, not curate a brand that people are paying for, but here, this is my company. All the brands are mine.
So, Rob, you're going to start growing in your garden, Rob? You're going to start growing it in your garden?
I didn't know. You said Seth Rogen?
Seth Rogen.
Even he's an actor, the actor, right? And he has that funny, like, Jewish. Okay. I love Seth Rogen.
Yeah, he started a cannabis company called Houseplant Marijuana, and it's been very successful because he's been associated with that industry throughout his entire movie career. So, it was just a natural progression to he's not going to be a food baron, man, he's going to be a weed
baron. Pineapple Express, yes. That's a great movie, Pineapple Express.
So slow, yes. Okay.
Even that in culture, there are stoner movies. There are movies that you can sit there and mindlessly, like, just enjoy your sesh too. And that's that entertainment, and you'll understand all of that. That's what Cheech and Chong are, like, mostly famous for in their comedy.
That's true.
We got an online question for you. So, Jacqueline Robinson, has climate change affected the quality of weed for growers?
Interesting. I'm not quite sure, but I would assume so. A lot of, like, more industrial growing is done indoors in warehouses. Under a controlled environment, especially if it's going to dispensaries and everything. I remember back in 2014, I moved up to Northern California, and I lived on a weed farm for a year. It was trimming season. You've traded room and board, and you trimmed, and we wore masks, and, you know, it was all federally legal and regulated, so we had to have gloves, and we had to have masks on, and we had to just and sit there, and it was 12-hour shifts, sitting there trimming it.
Wow.
The chairs nice and pretty. Wow. We had to weigh everything. Wow. Yeah. And so you see the cultivation of it too. Each strain has a different growing process depending on what it is. And even the seedling process. Even now, if you smoke, most people try to keep the little seeds that come out of their nugs because then they can repurpose them and then they can grow them.
Grow their own.
They
can grow that. Oh,
I've grown one strain in my closet in college. I've grown a plant in my closet in college.
Wow. I've heard of people.
So you are truly a weed expert.
Connoisseur. Yeah.
No, I'm more of a just, cannabis I'm just connoisseur. A basic stoner.
Basic stoner.
Stoner girl.
All right, so all this talk about weed's been fun, but let's switch gears just slightly. So you in your podcast, I was listening to your podcast, you're really open about your mental health journey, how it led you to podcasting and how it's been transformative for you. But can you speak about, you know, your journey, your mental health journey, and, you know, how it's been a struggle for you? Because we talk about mental health often on this show because it's important to all of us. We all have our things that we're dealing with. And I'm just curious what your experience has been.
A child of an addict, diagnosed with bipolar disorder at the age of 5.
Wow.
And a lot of that recompression. And my lifestyle growing up was, you know, my family's were part of gangs and that kind of thing. And my grandparents really struggled to kind of shelter us and protect us from those things. My uncles were always into drugs and selling and distributing and doing whatever they wanted. It was a different lifestyle. So for us growing up, it was like, we knew the cops were coming. Like, we knew the house was going to get raided before they ever showed up. Mm. We knew the things were going to be that way. So when my father died, I had a mental breakdown and I dealt with suicide for the very first time, which is very hard for a 5-year-old. How do you, as a 5-year-old, comprehend that they don't want to be here anymore? So I've been in and out of therapy throughout my whole life. And then I want to say 4 years ago, I got diagnosed with schizoaffective disorder. I checked myself into a mental hospital and I was there for about a year. And I was like, I want to get to the root of this. Like, I'm not leaving here until you diagnose me. Like, I'm thinking, and then I was married prior. So I went through a huge divorce and I moved back to California and I found a really great psychologist. And that's when she diagnosed me. And she was like, you know what? None of these psychotics that you wanted, that you're taking is doing it. Let's try cannabis. And I was like, wait, nope. I was like, nope. You know my history. Yeah. Addiction runs within me. I've struggled with my own addiction. I'm not going to touch it. And she's like, well, let's try it. And I've integrated that and have healthy boundaries with it.
Has it helped?
The process.
Yeah,
it does. It helps a lot with the auditory hallucinations. So the way, if you don't know what schizoaffective disorder is, bipolar disorder.
I know bipolar.
And schizophrenia. So I have the mood swings, the highs and the lows of bipolar one. So when my highs are I'm like, I'm great. I'm doing good. I'm a workaholic. I pick up too many projects. And then something small and inconvenient will just be that catalyst. I'm like, all right, I'm a piece of crap. I don't feel loved and evaluated and appreciated. And then I also hear voices. So that's where the cannabis comes in. It calms and lessens the PTSD of certain traumas.
Wow. Okay.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. It's very heavy.
So what is that experience like when you're, because my brother was bipolar. I think my mother was undiagnosed bipolar. I'm just curious, what is the experience like when you are hallucinating? Are you aware that you're hallucinating or is it just...
To a certain extent. So when I'm very manic, I'm in a manic episode. And what I've learned is manic episodes aren't just like weeks and months. They can be years. They're those crazy, like you just don't care about the consequences of your actions. You're just going to do what you want to do. And you don't care about the repercussions. I've had seasons and dark seasons like that. And then that's where the hallucination is, where it's like those voices. I have someone telling me in my ear. The best way it will describe it, it's like a radio in my head. Mm-hmm. It depends on what's really going on in my life. Mm-hmm. So if things are good, they're like at a very low, like white noise. If my anxiety is really high, it's very drowning. Like I can't focus. I'm even with my children are yelling and they're playing around and I'm still hearing other things. I will have to tell my partner, hey, I need a minute. Like, I need to step away. Wow. I need a minute. But I've had to learn to communicate those needs. And that's really, really difficult to communicate, like, hey, I need a minute. I'm overstimulated. I'm not all here. And it's okay to say that I'm not okay.
It's got to be tough to have children and trying to deal with your mental health the way you are. It's got to be tough.
Yeah, I've got a lot of backlash because they're like, well, you know, if you smoke, then you're not really a present parent. I was like, no, you have to understand, I have to smoke to be a present parent. I am better. Exactly. Yeah, I'm better. You know, even if I smoke in the morning and it's now the afternoon and we're chilling at the pool, I feel better because I'm more present. I'm able to, you know, have those things. Yeah. As to if there are days where I decide, you know, I don't need it and I'm fine. I have those days too, where I'm like, all right, I'm not going to have a session today. I'm going to be do me and figure out life and have manage with other coping skills.
Yeah.
I journal. Use my podcast. My sister and I have kind of talk. Yeah. Our podcast we've created has been very loving and safe space between us.
Nice.
And I think it's gotten us back to building a better relationship with Alicia and I.
Nice.
Aww.
That's awesome.
Aww, very That's nice. Wonderful. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I was actually going to touch on that because you mentioned that it's a safe space for you. And I'm sure for your listeners as well, as we talked about Do you have any, or can you think of any memorable episodes or a specifically memorable episode that maybe you kept or your sister kept or your audience kept with you?
I would think it would be one of our last recent episodes. My sister officially came out as gay. And through that process, we were having conversations, and she was taking our audience through, like, hey, I think I'm bisexual. And I'm like, okay, cool. What's that mean for you? And then she's like, well, no, now I have this friend and we kissed and I don't know what that means. Mm-hmm. And so she's taking our audience through that. And so she was really afraid to come out to her father because he's just a traditional Hispanic, you know, man. Oh, and they don't approve. They're very like macho, you know, and
machismo.
He's a very machismo. And, you know, she had already came out to my mom and I, and we're like, all right, cool. What's her name? Did she make you happy? It's all that really matters. And so that episode, she really deep dived into, he kicked her out of the house. He told her to leave. He couldn't approve of it. And I think it was a good episode for me to be like, all right, I'm the big sister now. You know, I have to, and I was able to explain to her from a parent's perspective too, you know?
Yeah.
And we got to display, we're 8 years apart. So when she starts to enter a chapter of her life, I just ended that chapter of my life.
Yes, exactly.
Now her 20s now, you know, figuring out her. And in my late 20s, beginning my 30s, and I'm raising kids. And, you know, I've already been through multiple relationships and things to get to where I am.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh. All right. Unfortunately, we are running out of time, but I just wanted to give you a minute to kind of share what's happening with the Crescent Media, your business venture. Let's talk about that real quick.
Nice.
So I fell in love with podcasting, and a lot of my audience would DM me and on Instagram and TikTok. They're like, how'd you grow this so fast? And I was like, I've been a content creator for 12 years. Took a good 8-year hiatus from that. Did YouTube. I went to conventions. I went to Anime Expo. Like, I was, you know, living that. And then when I got into my first marriage, it got very toxic and abusive. So I left the internet, and then I showed up, and I was like, all right, I'm on my second marriage. I have kids, and this is my life now.
This is like second nature for you. So that's awesome.
Very nice.
Yeah. I started an online course, and then I realized from there, I can really use the degree that I worked so hard for, you know, use. Like, yeah. And for me, I live in a small town in Arkansas. So it's, the industry is not here.
Right.
Like,
of course not. Right. Yeah. Arkansas, no. All right. Well, thanks so much, Kat, for joining us. Unfortunately, we are out of time now. But please just give any last words you have, and just be sure to tell everyone where they can find you and the Sister Sesh podcast.
Okay. So first, you can find us on our network, PodsNetwork.com.
Yes. Pods Network, PODZ.
Yep. We are part of the same network, also Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and pretty much everywhere you can find your podcasts. And just come join the sesh with us.
Yeah, the Sister Sesh Podcast. It's a lot of fun, so you got to check them out. Thank you again, Kat, for joining us. We really do appreciate your time.
Thank you.
We're going to have you back sometime. We have to give you, maybe bring you back definitely. As a guest host. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Kat. Thanks again. We'll talk to you soon.
We're going to have We're going to have a special episode, TLS Sesh.
TLS Sesh. Where I watch you guys smoke.
Edibles.
No, she doesn't smoke on air, but I mean, just, you know, full disclosure, we have, and now we're talking. So, you know.
Right.
I'll watch you guys smoke. All right. Let's get into some hot topics. Robbie, you're going to start us out. You want to talk about Burning Man. Tell us about it.
Yeah, right. If Burning Man wasn't crazy enough venue to begin with, this year, the annual Nevada Desert Festival, renowned for its celebration of art and community, faced unprecedented challenges due to the heavy rain. So over the course of 24 hours, the region received an extraordinary amount of rain, and it turned the festival grounds into a thick clay-like mud that left vehicles stuck and attendees completely stranded. With over 70,000 people in attendance, authorities advised people to shelter in place while the event organizers prevented entry and exit from the festival grounds. There was a death that occurred, and it is currently under investigation. But festival goers really showed resilience and community spirit, and they stuck through it until it was deemed safe for them to leave. And they left in droves that time.
I would.
Yeah.
I'd have been out.
In the face of unexpected challenges like the storms at Burning Man, how can event organizers and attendees better prepare to ensure safety and an overall good experience for everyone? And should the event organizers be held liable for damages?
Yeah, so Burning Man, I had to look up what it was. I mean, I thought it was actually pretty cool. I mean, Burning Man, it's not something I would have normally considered attending anyway. So,
yeah, no.
But it's like an 8-day celebration, art, creativity, and, you know, it's in the desert, right? And so. Yeah. There's probably no cell phone service. There's nothing. And apparently, that was reading that they don't use money. You have to use barter and donations. You bring your own food and water.
Wow.
Yeah. And
I didn't know that.
Figure out your own electricity. So that's why a lot of people are camping and stuff like that. And the only stores you find are ones that sell ice and coffee, apparently. So, I mean, it's horrible. And then they have these really strict community rules that they have. Anyway, to answer your question, so the festival tells people that for the time you're there, you need to be self-sufficient. In their handbook, it actually has a handbook which has their principles and ethics. It's almost like a cult or religion or something.
It's a manifesto.
So when it comes to storms and things like these, I mean, the attendees are told ahead of time to kind of like, you're on your own, be ready. So, but I would say if storms like this, you know, happen, organizers need to figure out something.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they got to figure out something. They can't just like leave people stranded, get them some water. I mean, how long were they stranded?
Oh, they were just stranded for a couple of days. They were leaving like Monday and Tuesday. So the event organizers, once things dried up enough, event organizers asked people to delay leaving as much as possible to prevent congestion. But after a few hours, everyone was just going. So we're talking like traveling 15 miles in 5 hours time.
Yeah.
I would be pulling out what's left of my hair. A lot of people just walked to the nearest town and hitched a ride out. I know that Diplo and Chris Rock were just trudging along the mud, and someone came along with a pickup truck. I'm like, hey, you guys want a ride? And they're like, yeah. We'll take a ride.
Wow.
Yeah, so celebrities got stuck. Everybody got stuck out there. I don't know. Anyway, so what do you think, Johnny?
Yeah, I mean, it is the event organizer's job to, you know, keep them safe. But like Neo said, there are certain things. If the event organizers are telling you the risk associated and it is on something that you sign, or even if you have the ticket, then you're saying, okay, I accept X, Y, and Z, whatever comes. So I don't think that the event organizers should have full blame or should pay for everything. But I do think that, did you guys say that they were there throughout the entire time? The event organizers made sure that people were safe.
Of course. They got stuck there, I think, as well.
Yeah, like everyone was stuck because it was just this clay pack. I mean, if you've tried trudging through that stuff, it turns into cement. Like, it is just so heavy and disgusting. And if you're trying to drive through it, if you're going to sink, and getting you out is going to be an enormous task.
I kept trying to figure out why nobody would just get a helicopter or something to come out to come get you. But
that's messy.
You know, especially the celebrities and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I was Chris Rock, I'd just be like, helicopter, come get me because I'm right here. I figure it out. So, I got money. But They don't have cell phone service.
But then you got crabs in the bucket kind of mentality happening, because if one person is latching onto a helicopter, everyone's rushing it to get out. You don't want that.
Oh, that's scary. Yeah.
Yeah. The good thing is only 2 days. It wasn't even that serious.
Yeah, but people were probably hungry. You said that they don't have shops there.
They don't have food. I'm sure people bought. Some people have more food than others. They could have shared.
See, this is another festival. There was like something called the Fire Festival. I think Ja Rule was a part of it.
That's a completely different thing.
That is a different thing.
The Fire Festival was a one-off thing where people got ripped off, fleeced. It turned into a Lord of the Flies situation. It was a completely freak weather incident. They got 2 months worth of rainfall in 24 hours. So it transformed the landscape into something that they never have to deal with. This wasn't something that they could have really provisioned for. So the event organizers, you know, at that point, maybe dropping wooden pallets around so people can get around a little bit better, maybe doing something to that effect, working with some basic engineers to figure out a good solution to
ferry they people should have out, had a plan.
Like you were saying.
At least food and water, I think, was more important.
It is the desert, though. So, you know, okay, what are the risks? Like, let's assess the risk that happens with a festival in the dry desert, in the middle of the desert.
Rain could happen. There is a guide for the festival goers. And if you're attending a venue and they provide you with a manual, like, this is the stuff you need to look out for, because that's it, you're out in the middle of the desert. Okay, so if you don't prepare adequately, that's on you, because they did tell me that, you know, you bring your provisions, you bring wood blocks so that you can get your stuff off the ground. So if you didn't do that stuff, then you're sinking in the mud and you are just another part of the problem. It's unfortunate that someone lost their life, and I hope that there was no foul play involved in any of this.
I bet it was.
And it seemed, from what I've been able to glean so far, it looks like the death took place during the torrential waterfall. So if you're an event goer and you happen to be intoxicated or incapacitated in any way, it just takes this much water to drown, right? Yeah. So
I guess
we'll see what they find.
Yeah, I guess we'll hear from the investigation. But
I have reason to suspect foul play at this time, but it is under investigation.
Jacqueline Robinson says it's not as if they were defrauded like the attendees at the Fry Festival. What was the Fry Festival?
I think she means the Fire Festival.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she does.
The one that Gianni was talking about. Yeah, okay. Just a misspelling.
Yep. I just think festivals in the desert is... why am I here? I'm not going.
You're not going?
No. Mm-mm. A tropical, like, Amazon forest? Yeah.
What?
I'll go. Wait, you would take
the tropical... There's no cell phone service there.
You would take a tropical Amazon forest over the desert.
Over the desert? Neo, the desert is scorching hot, freezing cold at night.
You know, you're talking snakes,
the dust,
bugs. Oh my
God. But they would have protections for that. They wouldn't let you go next to a boa constrictor.
You're in the Amazon rainforest. What kind of protections are you talking about?
Yeah, man.
I would take the desert. Anytime, as long as I had enough water and food and stuff, I would take the desert over that any day.
Yeah, less,
how about
less
you, Rob? You would take the desert?
Over the rainforest? Crazy. Yeah, because I'm not a fan of predation where I'm on the menu.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, in the rainforest, there's a lot of little things and a lot of big things that will put me on the menu. The desert?
True.
Yeah, I can prepare for that. It's going to be uncomfortable. But even the Amazon rainforest, you're talking... Like, the desert is a dry heat. The rainforest is a humid, stifling heat. And don't kid yourself, it gets cold at night also.
Me and my wife watch Naked and Afraid.
I can imagine that.
We watch Naked and Afraid all the time. And I tell her, the one thing that would make me quit is freaking bugs and cold. I would quit in a heartbeat.
You're already.
I mean, I'm naked and cold and then bugs biting me? Nope. I'm out.
Yeah, I'm extremely out. Uncomfortable.
All right, is this true? Truth by Shenanigans.
Shenanigans.
This is truth. Yeah. And unfortunate.
I mean, what else could they do? I mean, I don't think they could have done much else. I mean,
And that's it.
I mean, you learn from it, right?
Yes,
you learn from it, and that way, if something like this were to happen, then you can organize some airdrops to bring in water. Yeah.
Next time, just have something like ready, you know, have a warehouse nearby, like you said, and just be able to do that.
Oh, yeah. Good idea, too.
Okay, before we get to our next topic, let's take a quick break from all the shenanigans. I've got to take a minute to tell you about, you guessed it, Pods Network, P-O-D-Z. It's not just any podcast network. It's a hub for aspiring podcasts and curious listeners like yourself. Tonight's guest, Kat from Sister Sesh Podcast, is one of those gems that you'll find there. While you're there, check out that show that effed me up, the Just Be You podcast and Sunny Mary Meadows podcast. There's some amazing podcasts there waiting just for you. Aspiring podcasts, curious listeners, that's what Pods PODZ Network is all about. So after this episode, head over to Pods Network and download the next episode of Truth, Lies, Shenanigans and the Sister Sesh podcast. Trust me, you'll appreciate it. All right, let's get into our next topic.
Truth, Lies, Shenanigans.
All right, so the amazing 19-year-old Coco Gauff won another match in the U.S. Open. And as of our recording right now, she's heading into the semifinals and seems to be a favorite to win the title. Well, the other day, me and my wife got to talking about Coco, and she told me about her first match where Coco got into it with one of the refs. And she started talking about, like, this angry black woman this, angry black woman that. So I was like, I gotta check this out. And so when I looked at the tape, it was reminiscent a little bit of the Serena Williams rant to the judge in 2018, where, you know, it got into the social media where they were talking about this angry black woman trope. And yeah, Coco was complaining that her opponent, German player Laura Siegmund, was going too slow between serves. Mm-hmm. But then when I looked at the video a little more, I mean, she was going slow. And the commentators were saying the same thing. And I saw another video where Laura was also complaining to the judge, and she ended up getting a warning for going slow. So anyway, my wife was really into this black woman, angry black woman thing. So I'm going to save my thoughts a little bit. But what do you guys think? You know, are women like Serena and Coco voice their complaints? Are they stigmatized by this angry black woman stereotype? What do you think, Gianni? Are you an angry black woman?
I can be sometimes, I'm going to be honest with you. But I'm so tired of that narrative. Like, hang it up, okay? Because at the end of the day, I think that even if she was to voice her opinion being white, it wouldn't be the stigmatized thing. I don't think the people that are actually talking about this being a stereotype and the angry black trope are people that kind of want to make a big deal out of it. Because when you watch the video, you see how she goes about it. She wasn't really coming across like belligerent. Like, she was literally just passionate, expressing what she felt was wrong. So I feel like how she went about it didn't give me angry black woman vibes at all. I was expecting to see that a little bit. But no, I'm tired of it. I think even like you guys are probably tired of hearing the narrative, the angry black woman. And it's like this aggressive, deep-rooted thing that's been here since like slavery, to be honest. Like, it's deep rooted in like slavery.
I mean, do you think the angry black woman trope, the stereotype, is real? Is it something that exists?
Yeah,
I mean, so it does exist. You're just tired of hearing about it.
Yeah, I'm tired of hearing about it because media projects it out too. Like, media makes it a thing too, and they kind of play on it, especially in like, speaking from my culture, I mean, my generation's culture, it's like they'll say a darker skinned girl is more of that angry black woman stereotype than a lighter skinned girl. And they'll kind of put that thing as a thing too. But just not to digress, it is something that is still put out there. And media is one of the biggest players in like perpetuating that stereotype.
Before I get to Rob,
continuing things.
Jacqueline Robinson says, I agree with Gianni. I think it's a non-issue, even though the trope is exhausting. It exists. But it doesn't apply in this situation. What do you think, Rob?
Yeah, I don't think it applies in this situation, not either, to be honest. Because when I check things out, Coco spoke up when it was warranted. And really, we should be glad that she did, because the umpire was trying to white-splain away Coco's experience when she was talking about the rule breaking. And Neo, like, I mean, it's barely noticeable, sure, but her opponent, Laura Sigmund, was slowing the pace of the match. Oh, and technically, that's cheating. So, you know, the nice thing is that this interaction was caught in 4K and the whole world got to witness it. I think of other tennis players. I mean, you know, as far as tantrums, I think of like John McEnroe. I think of that guy losing his mind.
Was that an angry white guy
screaming? Right? I mean, exactly. No one was talking about an angry white guy trope. It was just, man, that John McEnroe, he's
an asshole,
he's
right?
Something. Right? Yeah, well, that was the consensus. Yeah. But yeah, no, it's true. The trope is definitely around. I can't say that culturally it's something that I'm really aware of.
Right.
But I know that the trope is alive and well. It's presented in media and they're just trying to spark outrage by calling it the angry black woman, because Coco had every reason to advocate on her behalf on the court, and her coach was encouraging her to engage the umpires. And like, you gotta say something.
Yeah.
So she did.
I think sometimes we're reaching. I think we as black people sometimes reach a little bit too far. And, you know, I get that there is an angry black woman stereotype, and it's more than just a label. It is a systemic issue that black women do face, where as soon as you get angry, oh, you know, you can be dismissed because, oh, it's just an angry black woman. So whatever their concerns aren't important. It's just an easy dismissal. Right. Angry black woman. It's just her again. Right. And yeah, so I get it, you know, and black women do get silenced, but I don't know. I just didn't feel it like you guys. I didn't see it. And I'm trying to tell my wife, I'm like, I don't know about this one. Like, I don't think this is an angry black woman thing right here. I mean, she's just complaining. And then it seems normal to me. I mean, everybody's agreeing with her. They're booing the German woman.
But it's interesting. I just feel like it's black people that would call her out on that and kind of be like, oh, she's doing too much or whatever. But it's like, we kind of perpetuate it too, like our own culture. Like, we do that same thing. And I think that it's okay to have your feelings about it, but I think it's so embedded for like black women to have that stereotype that now we're scared to even have that be said about us. So we go about it in a way where we're trying to be soft and we're trying to make sure we don't speak so loud. So we have to like manage other people's emotions, basically, because how we talk is a threat. when we're passionate, it's scary. Okay.
And so you can easily get dismissed. I mean, we need to continue to dismantle harmful stereotypes like this, right? And to kind of recognize when they're happening, but we do run the risk of diluting the conversation, right? Because if everything is this angry black woman thing, then people start to be more dismissive, like dismissive of when it does happen and when it does occur. I don't know. Anyway, I totally disagreed with my wife. I think it was reaching.
I mean, anyway. She has a point to her point. There's a reason she has. Because, I mean, as a black woman, you do kind of want us to not get picked on so much all the time. Like, especially if I see Serena out there and she's getting a little loud, I'm like, all right, calm down, hot pants. Like, you just want them to.
Oh, there you go. That's you see, you're being Serena. Dismissive. You're being dismissive.
No, I love him.
you just calling her an angry black woman. I get it. All right. Jacqueline Robinson says, some of us are old enough to remember Jimmy Connors, John McEnroe, like Robbie was saying, throwing rackets, etc. The angry black woman trope is used to silence us. It's particularly hurtful when black men take it up. Interesting. It's even more interesting because that same day that we had the conversation, we were out at a concert and she was saying something to me. I was like, you don't have to get angry. And she's like, there you go. Angry black woman. I was like, oh my God, here we go. Here we go. Oh my
God. You gaslighter, man.
I know, right?
You lit her up. You're awful.
All right. Is this true? Lies or shenanigans?
This is shenanigans.
No, I think this is.
I think it's true.
Truth. I don't think it's. I don't think it's shenanigans.
It's being overinflated. It's being
okay. Fair enough. So you're going the other way.
It is over. They are doing the most.
Yeah, it is. It is a bit over the top. I don't agree this time. So normally I'd be in agreement and be like, "Oh, pro black," but not this time. Mm-hmm. I think my wife was surprised when I disagreed with her. Actually,
yeah.
All right, Gianni, we got to make this really, really quick, Gianni. All right, we got 3 minutes.
All right, so guys, I had to talk about this because it's in my own territory here in Georgia. So Lake Lanier is actually one of the deadliest lakes in the United States because over 200 people have actually drowned here. Its latest victim was a 23-year-old Gavry Whitlock, who ran down the dock, slipped, and fell into the lake and didn't come up. He's not the only one. 4 other young men passed away this summer alone at that lake. But if you don't know about Lake Lanier's history, basically white citizens wiped out a successful black community called Oscarville. And then they then created this man-made huge ass lake, basically.
Oh, really?
So yeah, that's what happened. Like, long story short. And after countless deaths and no justice, this area is said to be cursed. But I want to know from you guys, based on the history and the facts, do you believe this place could be cursed or haunted? And are you guys going to come to Georgia and take a trip to Lake Lanier?
So I saw an episode of Atlanta. I think it was like the final season where he was in a canoe or something on a boat. And, you know, these ghosts or something came up out the boat and was and just took the white dude. And it was based on Lake Lanier. It was a hilarious episode. And matter of fact, the last season of Atlanta was really, really, matter of fact, Atlanta was a great show, by the way. If you haven't seen it,
it is a good show.
I really suggest you binge it because it's really, really good. There's some crazy episodes that just boggle your mind. I don't know that I like the ending, but overall, it's a really good show. But anyway, as far as haunted, it could be. I mean, it could be that these black people are reaching up, grabbing these white dudes. You know, I don't know. Who knows? Who knows? It could be. I'm gonna leave it at that.
This dude ran on a slippery dock, fell, knocked his head, and drowned. No hunting involved. There's been 8 drownings so far this year. Lake Michigan's got 24 drownings so far this year and over 1,100 reported drowning deaths. So, you know, if we want to talk about haunted bodies of water with body counts, let's talk about the Great Lakes. Let's talk about the oceans. Let's talk, like, really.
It's different.
No, the body count doesn't have anything to do with it. It's different.
That's different.
Nah. Spirit of black people, nope. She's Johnny's.
Be careful around water. Be careful around water.
One, Rob, those bodies of water are huge. Lake Lanier is 38,000 acres, but Lake Michigan is huge, and it stretches along the point of Michigan, the land. So that makes sense. But this little tiny piece of area is getting all these deaths.
And that's it. But we're just talking about deaths in the same body of water. So, I mean, the soul count,
She makes a good point.
Count.
Size does make a difference. So if you do
like
deaths per acre, deaths per area,
square footage, like, how are that many people dying in this one specific area? Granted, you're right. He did slip because he's a weirdo and he was running. Why are you running? But how did he not come back up until 10 p.m.?
No, but you have to understand the ghost of Ebenezer. He made it really slippery on the dock and then he could grab him down. I'm telling you. Ghosts.
Spirits are real, and I think that the place could be haunted. That's why all the black people in Atlanta
all the black
go to Lake Lanier.
But I thought it was they only targeting white people, though, I thought.
No, it's targeting black people that died. If you look into the history, it's black people that mainly die and Hispanic. The guy that just died was Hispanic.
Oh, hey, Camille, let's go for a swim and see what happens.
I'm all right. I'm all right, Rob. I'm all
right. Johnny, come with us and we can cover more bases.
I thought it was the other way around, so no, I'm good now.
Yeah, I'm not coming.
Feels like, actually, I'll pass.
Don't worry about it.
All right.
But no, there's been some shows on this.
Shenanigans.
There's been some shows on this, but maybe you guys never know. I may make a movie on it.
Let's do it. Let's do it, Johnny. Is this truth, lies, shenanigans? I'm going, it's
shenanigans.
True. It's true. No, it's true. I mean,
it's shenanigans because I'm not going there.
And those are some fun topics, guys. Actually, I'm glad we got that last one in, Gianni. All right, let's get in our game show. All right, today's game is Have You Ever? We'll spin the wheel, and the wheel will give us something random asking, have you ever, whatever. Have you ever met a celebrity, for example? Ooh. Yep. And so you can only score a point if you have done it and you tell the story about it. Now, if you didn't do it or don't tell the backstory, you don't have to tell the story. No points for you. Person with the most points wins the final thought for the show. All right, we are going to start. Let's start with Rob B. Let's have some fun.
Dang it. All right.
Oh, easy one, Robbie. Have you ever shoplifted?
Oh, who hasn't?
Yes, I did. And actually, I was quite adept at it as a youth, and it did get me into trouble.
Ooh, adept at it, even.
Yeah.
It was good. So,
yeah, it was a good turning point.
Five finger Rob. For me.
There was a buddy system.
Oh, even worse. He had accomplices.
One accomplice.
All right. Gianni. It's an easy one. Have you ever listened to a song that made you cry?
Multiple times. I'm trying to think of which song. You know what song makes me cry?
What's that?
The song with that comes on the commercial with the animals. When I was young, that song used to make me.
Sarah McLachlan. Yes.
So sad.
Canadian treasure. Right here.
But it's the commercial making you cry. Not, is it the song or the commercial?
It's the song coupled with the beaten and abused animals.
Right.
So I think
can't
it's just
hear the
like
song the, without seeing those images.
Without right. that imagery. Yeah.
Yeah.
She locked it in our minds.
All right.
So, yeah.
Point for both of you. All right. Mm-hmm. Oh, have you ever been mistaken for someone famous?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been mistaken for a couple of different people. When I was younger, people would say that I look like Ice Cube. And then.
Okay. I can see that.
And then
that.
There's this guy from, do you remember the show Prison Break?
Yeah.
There was a Hispanic guy. I forget his name now. Robbie's looking it up. I see already. But that they used to say.
Oh, Amory Nolasco.
Yeah. They used to say I look like
him. I kind of see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of see it.
Well, I got to see it now.
Looking at some different images. Yep. Absolutely. With his little goatee.
Yeah. And people tell me I look like him. I see it a little bit too. I could see where it is. What's his name again?
It's
Velasco.
Mari Velasco.
Yeah. Yeah, you kind of do. Right. Okay. So,
point for each of us. All right.
He was like in Benchwarmers.
He was what? In Benchwarmers?
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
All right. Robbie, have you ever farted and said it wasn't you?
I've never done that.
Probably daily.
Of course I have. I'm a guy. I grew up with a kid brother. It's something you do to your best friends.
That's probably daily.
You rip a good one and you blame him and walk away. Yeah, of course.
I blame the dog.
People are sick.
There's something wrong with that dog's diet. All
right. Gianni. Have you ever stole? This is a good one. Have you ever stolen something from your parents or siblings?
Yes. You know what's funny? Mm-hmm. I actually stole, this is not funny. I stole from my stepdad a joint when I was like 18, 19. He smokes weed. So he had like joints pre-rolled in his little drawer, sock drawer. Uh-huh. And I remember stealing a couple. Oh, I don't think he cared or he just didn't notice. He never said anything.
I don't think he didn't notice. he probably just didn't know who it was.
Or he didn't know who right. took it and he didn't want to have that
right.
conversation.
Right, he didn't want to have a conversation.
Exactly. My mom did not approve.
That's not what at this house. You probably thought mom took it. All right.
I was like, I'm just not going to say anything.
Have you ever cried for no reason?
There's always a reason.
I was going to say, I always have a reason. I mean, I've cried out of the blue. You know, sometimes I'm like, especially when I'm really? Watching movies and stuff, and or like, well, especially it, I think I told
well,
you.
Then that's a
I reason. Think I've told you guys here that I want kids, and I haven't been blessed with kids yet. So oftentimes I'll yeah. see shows or movies where you know, with parents and children, and I'll start crying. I ain't gonna lie, I start crying sometimes. I'm like,
there's a reason.
Yeah. Oh yeah, don't start with me on that. Okay. All right, we're going to do one last round, and then we're just going to pick a winner. All right. Yeah. Robbie, have you ever cheated on anything Ooh. Or anyone?
Cheated on anything. So like a test.
Yeah, like a test.
Sure. Sure. Or anyone. Yeah.
Have you
I don't think you have to answer yeah. both. I think you can choose one or the other.
Yeah.
Bob doesn't give me cheater vibes.
But I do want to know about the cheated on the other person more than I want to hear about
this current version of Rob. Yes, absolutely. Does not give you cheater vibes. But no, I had some deep rooted insecurities as a young man. I craved love and attention. And unfortunately, I went looking for it in different places.
Mm. Yeah. You know that story. Yep.
Yep. Yeah, so now that I'm secure with who I am,
I'm
in a very loving relationship. I don't, I wouldn't fathom it.
Okay. Gianni, have you ever pooped in a swimming pool?
Ew. Absolutely not ever. Oh,
she hasn't done it. All right. No point for Gianni. You're out, Gianni.
No poop for you.
Oh, I should have lied.
You should have lied. Yeah. It's too late now.
There was this Publix.
Trying to make it up. Yeah, no, I don't believe it now. Because Yanni, if we had tied, I was going to give it to you, that's but too late now.
Have you guys ever done that? That's really gross.
No, I've never pooped in a swimming pool. Thank goodness.
Yeah, that's
in
a swimming pool.
Have you ever gone on a date just for the free food? Oh, Robbie, you're about to win again.
Hell yeah.
I know Gianni has, but I've never gone on a date and gotten free food.
Several times.
Guys, pay for your meal. Yes. Rarely the other way around.
I have not even gotten free food on a date. So, no.
You guys could have sugar mamas when I mean, you still can, technically.
No, I'm good.
No, I'm kidding.
Thank you.
I have a sugar mama. I'm good. All right. Well, Bobby, you win the game. Darn it.
Rob always wins.
Darn it. Didn't want Robbie to win. He wins everything.
He literally does.
All right, Gianni, shout out.
Shout out to Black women. Sorry that our names are always in the media. Sorry that we're always getting slandered. But Black women, stay strong and love each other and support each other. And let's make each other proud.
That reminds me real quick that I was watching the documentary about Megan Thee Stallion and Tory Lanez. We missed a lot of key points that we would have been really valuable when we were talking about that. But she's all about, you know, Black women and Black women power because of that. So
empowerment.
Yeah. Robbie, shout outs.
Shout out to the kids and parents who are dealing with back to school madness. And for those of us commuting with buses on the road, be cautious of the big yellow buses, flashing lights and stop signs. Please be safe out there.
My nephew got his first ticket, and it was because he passed a school bus, and they had a camera, and they got him. I was so mad at him. I was like, good. I'm glad he got him. He needs to pay for it because his parents were talking about paying for it for him. I'm like, nah, he needs to pay for that. Anyway.
No.
Yeah, he needs to be careful.
Yeah.
He needs to be accountable.
And my shout out goes to Coco Golf. Hope you win this weekend. I hope you win. Bring it home. Amazing. She's an amazing player. You got to watch her. She's not quite Serena.
So young.
But she's so good. So I hope she pulls it out. And stand up for yourself. You ain't no angry black woman. Stand up for yourself, woman. Good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
All right. That is officially all the time we have for today's show. I thank you for joining us. I hope you learned something. I hope you got a new perspective. But I definitely hope you had some laughs with us. Look for us live again next Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern time. Look for our official audio episode this Friday on Apple Podcasts, Pods Network. That's Pods with a Z, or anywhere you listen to podcasts. All right, Rob B., you won again. Close us out with the final thought.
You won again.
All right. So returning to school is an opportunity to ignite your curiosity, passion, and potential. Embrace the journey of learning with enthusiasm and let it light the path to your dreams.
Well, that's nice.
Thank you, Rob. Nice. We love his quotes.
Yeah. That is
Everyone's heading back to school this week. So, hey, man.
Yeah. All right, Johnny, we're going to have to get these final thoughts. We're going to have to stop letting Rob win all these games.
Next week, I'm going to be tuned in.
All right, we're going to figure this out.
I'm going to figure out my price structure for reading your final thoughts.
That's funny.
I'm going to monetize my wins.
All right. Thank you, Robbie Rock, Gianni. Thank you, Kat Henson of the Sister Sesh podcast for chatting with us. But most importantly, we need to thank you for listening to our shenanigans each and every week. Have a great week, everyone. We'll see you next week.